With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss. It is Fan Late Shift. We've got our good friend Craig Meyer, who is down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and witnessed, well, he witnessed a basketball game. I guess it was a good game, Craig. I don't know if I would call it a well-played game, but it was a exciting game, right?
Yeah. I mean, the first 20 minutes were awfully rough. I think after that, it really wasn't too bad. Both teams shot 50% or better in the second half. Shot well enough in overtime too. It was clearly, especially with the Wake Forest with 18 turnovers, and Pitt losing to a team that had 18 turnovers. I think it was just, it was a game between two teams that clearly weren't very good, or maybe for most of the season haven't been very good. Especially with Pitt here on a 6-game slide. I don't think anything's going to be worse than losing to Niagara at home. But aside from that, I think it's probably Pitt's worst loss of the season. I don't think that's much of an exaggeration to say.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, Craig, that's a little disappointing, and I understand hitting the wall and all this other stuff, and coaches have film, and they have a lot of film on Pitt now. But it feels like this team has sort of regressed a little bit over the last couple of weeks.
I think so, yeah. You can tie back some to the freshmen. Xavier Johnson looked good tonight, finished with 23 points. He didn't shoot it great, but still played pretty well and kept him in it. But Trey McGowan has really, really dipped off here. He had 30 points against Florida State, but since then, he's not even shooting. I think he's shooting below 30% from the field, below 20% from three. He's a guy that when we talk about the freshman wall there, that Jeff Cable's talked about so much here over the past couple weeks, I think he really embodies that, and tonight I think that it would previously be he was still a big part of the team, still played big minutes, and he just wasn't producing in the same way. Tonight, plays only 14 minutes. I would probably venture to say that's his lowest minute total. Probably, I don't even know how far back you would have to go to find one lower than that. He just doesn't look as aggressive. He's clearly not shooting it as well. And then Audis Toney too. He just offensively, part of this could potentially be tied back to coming back from a hand injury where he is maybe a little bit limited on his non-shooting hand, but offensively, he's been a wreck here the past five or six games. I don't have the exact numbers on me, but, I think he's shooting below maybe 25-30%. He's, and he's a guy, too, where you saw tonight even a very makeable sort of play where he's in transition, there's nobody in front, has a wide-open layup, even if there's a guy chasing down. And he misses it. Thankfully for him, Jared Wilson for him was there to clean it up. But it's just been plays like that where plays maybe used to come pretty easily for him and McGowan, even as recently as 3 weeks ago. Just it seems like there's a lid on the basket for him.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is, you expected a little bit of that, at this point. Now, I thought it was interesting. There was a couple of quotes that you had on your Twitter feed that I felt were interesting. We have to be about we. We still have some guys that are into them because they're not playing well. They're not playing well because they're into them. We need everyone present with us and all the time and focusing on how to win. What do I have to do to win instead of I'm not playing well or I can't hit a shot or I'm not getting a foul or I'm not getting the ball or coach doesn't believe in me. Those are things that, to be quite frank, losers do. I guess, is he trying to say that maybe there's a little bit of selfishness that's creeped in with his team?
I would say so. And obviously he didn't elaborate or specify who he was talking about, but yeah, I would think that would be something where you have guys, and I guess this is kind of speculating here, but even just, where you have guys who have come in and experienced some success, whether it's a freshman who have never played college basketball before and now have all this adulation and attention, or guys who were on the team last year, whose lasting memories were losing all those games and having the crowd boo them sometimes. Although in that situation, they were booing Kevin Stallings more than anything, but where you have guys who are suddenly now dealing with success and who maybe are a little more keyed in on how they can benefit from that and what they can do to contribute to that so that they can gain any sort of adulation or a recognition. And yeah, I think that's something where it's sort of natural when you're not accustomed to even the sort of modest winning Pitt was doing early in the season. It can be difficult to deal with it. And that's something Jeff Cable talked a lot about. Like, this team clearly, with the guys coming back, were able to handle losing. I mean, they saw it in one of its worst forms possible. But how they deal with success was going to be pretty interesting. And I think that he was feeling that way. I think for a while they did well with it. I mean, even after starting 2-2, in ACC play, they didn't look that bad, and this wasn't an issue that would come up much. I mean, I think the fact that Cable's even bringing it up tells me this is something that's kind of been boiling up inside of him for a little while here. But I mean, you're at the point now where I think guys get into these situations here where the team's now lost six straight, and they kind of wonder, how much of this maybe falls on me. Or am I really the problem? And it's sort of like quicksand. Like, I think the more that you try to wiggle your way out of it and break free, the deeper you sink. And that can even be just as simple as looking at your stat line, being like, "Oh, well, I've only averaged 5 points a game here in the past five games. I'm gonna try to average 10, or I'm really gonna try to break out of this slump." And I think that, that's obviously some Cable's been seeing here over the past couple weeks, and that's why he brought up tonight.
Well, good news, Craig. I just pulled it up on ESPN, trying to get the box score and stuff. According to headline writer, Pitt actually won the game. It says Brown's three-pointer helps Pitt beat Wake Forest 78-76 in overtime.
We defeat Truman, man.
I'm afraid we've got some bad news, right? He also said something else very strange. This was the one I wanted to ask you about. Jeff Capel doesn't believe that Wake Forest was a more winnable game than others in ACC play. He says, "I don't buy into we're not evenly matched. I don't buy into that. You can write that or say that, but I don't buy into that. It's disrespectful to both teams, to be honest with you." Now, I want to make sure that I'm clear in what he is actually saying, because sometimes, you don't necessarily. Is he basically saying that, this game was not more winnable than, say, Duke or whatever?
Yeah, so basically my question that it had prompted that answer was, I had asked him how much more difficult was this loss, given how it went and given the fact that you all were probably more evenly matched with this team than you were with a bunch of the teams in your first nine ACC games, and that was the direction that the question took. I mean, that was the direction that Cable took. I mean, I can see in some way why Coach bristles that, because he talks to his team about how they have a chance in every game and how they really have to believe, which I totally get, but I mean, I think that the notion that, the Wake Forest wasn't an easier game for this team to win than when they played Duke or when they played Carolina, I mean, that's just, I think it's, you know, I get being tied to your values and, you know, and being consistent with your message to your team. But, I mean, that's just it's a sort of naivete, I guess, or just sort of in ignorance maybe.
Well, not just that,
just,
Craig.
Just like Forest Game, it's just like they're not a good team. Like, I don't – I mean, that's maybe disrespectful to them, but, I mean, going into this game – they were 8-13. They had lost five straight. And unlike Pitt, their five losses came by a combined 98 points. I mean, this is a team that a couple months ago, granted it was earlier in the season, they lost to Houston Baptist. They lost to a bad Richmond team. They lost to a Gardner Webb. Like this Wake Forest team, like there is some talent on it, but they are not good. And I mean, there was a very clear break from Pitt's first nine games until this game, you know, when you go from playing some of the top teams in the conference and even a team like Clemson that's very talented and returned most of a four seed from last year to the Wake Forest, who's been plagued by everything I talked about earlier, there was a very clear difference. I mean, this is a game that I think for people who follow Pitt or pay attention to it in even the tiniest way, like this was a game that really stood out as one that, hey, if they're going to snap this recent skid here, this is who it'll be against. This is the team that they maybe have the best chance against.
Well, I think the other thing, Craig, is, you know, he spent a lot of Saturday after the Syracuse game talking about how, you know, his team isn't, you know, he doesn't have guys like Zion Williamson and all this other kind of stuff, and talked about, you know, Syracuse, you know, the veteran guys and this and that and everything. Well, you can't have it both ways, you know.
Exactly.
You can't. I mean, if you're going to say that these other teams have better players, well, that's great. But, I mean, does Wake Forest really have that much better players than Pitt? And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they have three freshmen on the floor a lot too, Wake Forest?
Wake Forest, yeah, you know, I know Jalen Hordes, who, you know, he finished with 19 points and 17 rebounds for him. He's a really good freshman. You know, I know Brandon Childress, who's one of their other big guys, or, you know, like a big as, in terms of his importance, not as high. He's a junior, but, yeah, I mean, they're a pretty young team too. You know, and Capel's also talked about how youth isn't really an excuse for this team. He had talked about that after the NC State loss a few weeks ago, but it is also kind of, you know, it is an explanation that he does turn to some. So I guess it's maybe a, you know, I guess that's another example of maybe trying to have things both ways. I mean, he's a, you know, he's a D1 head coach, you know, he has to navigate a very, you know, it's like kind of a high wire act in terms of your public comments. I know for sure I would be terrible at it, but it has, you know, there has been a little bit of a contradiction here lately.
Craig, great stuff as always. I'm sure you're going to get some rest and then get on the road in the morning, or did you fly down there?
I drove, so I'll just crash and got a fun 6.5 hours tomorrow. You know, get to enjoy the lovely scenery of West Virginia, which I don't mean that facetiously. West Virginia is a gorgeous state, but yeah. Got a little bit of a drive, but hey, I get paid to write about sports, so it's never something to complain about.
Nope, Craig, get some sleep, buddy.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Craig Meyer, Post Gazette beat reporter for the Post Gazette. I mean, for Pitt Hoops, he's down in Winston-Salem, and of course, it was a rough night for your Panthers. Got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.